He says, but I've come to fulfill it. And he began to explain what these commandments really mean. He said, you have heard it said, and that's one of the commandments, thou shalt not murder. And that's what thou shalt not kill means. But he says, if you're angry with your brother without cause, if you're full of anger and hatred of your brother, and for no reason, you want to be mad, and darn it, I'm going to be angry at them for what they did. He says, you've already broken that commandment. You're already guilty of murder. That's what God was talking about. And he says that if you have looked upon a woman, and it applies to you women too, looking upon a man, okay, it's both ways. It's not just adultery in the sense that people who are married are the only ones who can commit adultery. He's talking about fornication. He's talking about any kind of illicit sexual type of behavior outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. He says, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you do something about it. If you could get away with it, you're guilty. This is the words of our Lord Jesus. Okay? And that's what I want you to see. We are not under the old covenant, partly because we couldn't keep it. There's no way that we could establish our righteousness, and that's the whole purpose of this giving of the law. Because there was a man who dwelt on the earth who did keep these commandments. Isn't that right, Brother Alan? There was a man who kept every one of these commandments. And his name was Jesus Christ. Okay? He was born under the law. And what that means is he was specifically born as a Jew, and he was to keep these laws and all the other laws that God gave. These aren't the only laws that he gave, but these are the foundation of all of the other, the 613 laws that were actually given to the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ kept this law for you, and he fulfilled it, and he has redeemed us from the curse of that law. When we stand in the resurrection, all of God's people are together, and we stand righteous as and shining forth bright as the noonday sun. It is not because we kept this law. Okay, it's because Jesus Christ kept it on our behalf. That is the foundation of your righteousness. That is the foundation of the redemption that we have in God, that God kept the law, and Jesus Christ's righteousness is imputed to every one of God's children. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad? You can't keep this law, can you? You're not good enough to stand before God on your own merit. This is how you tell. If you want to be righteous before God, keep the commandments. That's what Jesus said to the young man who came running to him. What good thing do I do that I might have eternal life? What good thing can I do that I might be found right before God? And Jesus said, well, if you enter into life, keep the commandments. And he listed the commandments. And you'll notice that he said, by the way, there's one that you lack. Go sell all you have. Get rid of that, because that's your stumbling block. Not to go to heaven. Jesus was not saying that if you keep this law, you'll go to heaven. That is technically true. The problem is that we're sold under sin. We're dead in sin. There's no way you can do it. But if you'll have fruit, if you walk in the kingdom, if thou would enter into life. And that's the other side of the Ten Commandments. And I'll try to hurry this along, because I do want to have Brother Bill. But guys, don't think that just because we're not under the curse of the law, that these don't apply to us. Because keeping the commandments is necessary for us to walk in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. There was a time, you can turn to Matthew 22, for the instance of time I won't turn there, but you'll recall that they came to the Lord Jesus and asked him several questions. And one of the questions they asked him was, which was the greatest of the commandments? And they specifically said, which of these? Is it the thou shalt not kill, or is it the Sabbath that's most important, or is it that thou shalt not bear false witness? Which one of these is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, the most important commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And he said, there's a second one, just like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. He said, on these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. And what Jesus was telling us was the spiritual aspect of this law. I know this law was given to the Jews. I believe that. I agree with that. But the Lord Jesus was saying that was it the first four commandments that I read to you about. Thou shalt have no other God before me, and thou shalt make no graven images, and not take the name of the Lord in vain. Not just cursing, but going out and saying you're a Christian, but not really following it, just having a superficial love and not obeying the Sabbath, which is a time of rest to reflect upon God. All of that really is summed up in this saying, loving the Lord your God with everything you have. And my friends, that's a New Testament law. And that's all that this really means. All of that first tablet really boils down to is loving God with everything we have, loving nothing else. And if you think about it, that's all that really says. It's interesting that the commandments say that God is the one who is jealous and he visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children of those who hate him. But he says he extends mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments. Where have we heard that before? What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He says, I give you a new command, that you love one another as I've loved you. That is the spiritual aspect of law. That's what these are about. Okay? This is for human happiness. If you'll do these things, you'll live in them. And that is the promise that God has given us today. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What does that mean? It means that you ought to treat other people with the same love that you have for yourself. That's another area where these two ideas that are so prevalent in our culture go amiss. The socialists, the Marxists, the ones who want to take from those who have ability and give to those who have need, I mean, they're motivated by their love for their neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's what motivates us. A lot of that is sincere. The objectivists, the extreme libertarians who say that, you know, it's a sin to give to somebody and you should hang on to what you have, says we should love ourselves. Well, both are right, but it's incomplete. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. That's what God has given us as his commandment. And if we'll do these things, we'll walk in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, I want to go to the same place that Brother Keith went to last time, and that is in Romans chapter 13. I'd like to read to you. Again, the Ten Commandments, you'll find them all over the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he says, now the law is not made for a righteous man. Okay? And he's talking about the law. He's talking about the commandments. But we don't do these things to impress ourselves toward God. We do these things because God has saved us. And God has said, if you'll walk in these things, if you love me, keep my commandments, do these things. I'm here to tell you right now, point blank, ignore what the culture is saying to you. If you steal, you're going to be unhappy. Don't steal. If the culture has very loose morals in a sexual way. Go out and do that with anybody you want under any circumstances. No. Respect what God has taught us there and you'll be happy. Okay? Look at chapter 13. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. God would have us love one another. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, that means to lie, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. It all boils down to this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Is it possible to fulfill the law? Well, in what context do you mean? If you mean fulfilling the law in a way where we ourselves stand righteous before God and on that final day are to be judged, then I have to say no. But if we're saying that by walking in the Spirit, can we fulfill the law? That is, do the things that God would have us to do and stand with Him in His kingdom, to walk in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to say yes. And we ought to do that. So this is not an onerous thing. This is not something that should be looked at as a burden. This is what God has given us for our happiness, that we might walk with our Lord Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that is what he was talking about. Thank you for your attention. Now, pray for Brother Bill as he finishes this, closes this out.
That was wonderful stuff. I don't want to take away from it. I listen to this and hear the political connotations of it. And by that I mean how it has impact on our lives and what we should do. And I'm reminded many times that Paul would wind up very, very lengthy and articulate, scholarly position by saying, all right, so be it. What does that mean to you? For instance, in Philippians 4, this chapter begins with the word therefore. All that's gone before, all that he's taught us of these doctrinal matters are for this purpose. Listen to how Paul applies this. And I would suggest that Paul had just written what our good brother has preached this morning. He would say, therefore. Therefore. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Julius and beseech Cynthia that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored and so forth. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, that is self-control, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This morning, as I awakened, I wrote a text to my kids. Now, my kids are now in the high 40s and 50s, and here sits one of them. And I said, 57 years ago, I awakened in a hotel in Norman, Oklahoma, beside a lady I had married the night before. This goes for you too, Charlie. Only it's 51. And I said, some things I got right by the provident hand of God. We ought to be thankful for so many things. We're reminded on anniversaries such as this to be mindful. God has given you a good wife. There's a proverb that says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and he has grace before the Lord. What are you thankful for? What am I thankful for? Well, we all be thankful for the wife that stayed beside us, for the husband. Many of you, I think, lost wives, husbands, gone on. We ought to be thankful for those years, thankful for what God has given us, and of all things, being thankful for today. Thankful for friends about us. Thankful that we have a life of peace in this church. Thankful that we live in a land in which we have no military forces hinged upon us. Thankful that we have a God that still knows what things are occurring, and that all things will occur by his directive will. Are we that thankful, or do we just run through life I look at babies. There were several at the reception yesterday, and beautiful children. I was corrected one time by a lady. So there's never such thing as an ugly baby, but I was corrected one time. Yes, there was one I knew. I didn't know that child. But I've always said about a baby, it's full of mush. And we have to train that child up in the ways of the Lord, that child will have a peaceful existence and a wonderful existence of grace. You know, if he left to himself, he'll not have that. That's what the teaching of the gospel is. As our brother has pointed out to us, that if we are to have communion with God, we are to have fulfillment of this life, we must first look about us and give him thanks for all that's about us. Even in times of difficulty, you know he'll get you out of it. In times of distress, and certainly we could point to so many biblical stories of times of distress. Would that be we would have the character of Joseph or of David or of Daniel? These are given to us as histories, all right. They serve as a witness unto what we have in the gospel, the covenant we have with God, and the history of our family, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Important things to know. But indeed, they're here to instruct us. That's what the scriptures was said, that they're here for instruction and righteousness and reproof and correction, that we may have the presence of God with us. But you know, what I said was right about the child's little baby's head being full of mush. Wouldn't it be that we could all return to that? Return to the fact and set aside all of the things about this flesh that prevent us. One of the things that, wouldn't it be wonderful to say I love Brother Billy and I could just visit with Brother Billy, Brother Charlie, Brother Don, just sit down and our souls talk. Not our memories of what we have in this, but our souls, at the soul level, to be able to communicate. You know what I think? That we'll do that in heaven. I think we'll have cast aside all of these things that bind us, impinge upon us, and take our heads, you know, and film all kinds of things, and we set those aside and talk soul to soul. That can only begin as we give thanks unto our Almighty God. Thanks for our wife. Thanks for our husband. Thanks for our friends. Thanks for all that God has done for us. I have a job to wake up in the morning and go to. Thankful that I have compatriots that look out for me and do things for me. I'm thankful for that there are places I can go and just get gasoline for my car. Thankful for all things about us. In all things, give thanks unto the Lord. While we sing a familiar song, there be one